Hey, this is Russ Dizdar. Welcome again. Preemption Broadcast. Appreciate you coming by to listen. We have just gone through a week where we've seen hurricanes come into the nation, and we experienced the winds 80 miles an hour, probably less than half of what those in Texas and other places experienced. But the power was all shut down, and it was pretty much an experience to see that happen. And we now, after about 5-6 days, we have individuals all around us that still have the power out. And so we are experiencing, well, turbulence. Obviously, there's those all across the nation that have experienced, you know, that kind of turbulence and turmoil. Around the world, still terrorism, everything else. But listen, we're now dealing with the series on the abyss. So if you're new to this, I hope that you can get to the other parts. We have a 6-part series. We're also adding them to the newsletter along with a few notes, because I believe it's one of the most unexplained or expounded upon prophetic areas in Scripture. I mean, there's a number of unexplained or unexpounded upon areas, and I was looking over numerous books this week, theologians, past biblical scholars, and just kind of checking out, you know, how they have looked at things. And again, many other subjects, but very, very little on this subject. Now, we're dealing with a subject that, again, prophetic revelation tells us will occur. And listen, if you're, you know, if you're in some kind of alternative spiritual stream, if you're just somebody checking into prophetic events, if you're looking into conspiracy and things like that, well, here again at Preemption Broadcast, we're not here to leave you in the dark. We'll talk about subjects, but we want to come down to, again, what has God said, what has God spoken, because this is so vital, especially in this age of New Age spirituality, where there's many, many different roads that people are following. And I want to, and I would pray that God would capture your attention for a few moments, because if you're at all interested in things like Edgar Cayce and Nostradamus and psychics and predictions and so forth, well, then let me tell you something. You should be very interested then in biblical revelation, in this sense, in the prophetic revelations. The first prophecy in all of Scripture goes back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And it was a prophecy that dealt with the winning back of the human race to God. It dealt with a spiritual battle. It dealt with an alternative spiritual presence that would be in the world. The fallen world in which we've lived, you know, our lives, in which humanity has lived itself out for thousands of years now, has continued to see the conflict. And death is still among us, and pain, and war, and bloodshed, and killing, and rape, all these things. Listen, how's your day been? How's your life? And let me ask you something. Why would you be interested in this subject, the abyss? I'm going to tell you just blatantly, and I'm going to tell you just, you know, forthrightly, that the abyss will be opened. It is a real place. As we've talked in the other series on this subject, abyssos in the Greek, it is the place, they call it the bottomless pit, but it's clearly revealed in all of Scripture as a place of containment. Some places there's a mention of the place of the dead. But primarily in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, the demonic realm feared to be cast into that place. And I have seen this in the middle of many different exorcisms we've gone through, where the demons have screamed they don't want to go to the abyss. They are terrified of the abyss. And the abyss in biblical revelation. Listen, if you've not read it, because you're looking at what God spoke actually in pictorial form. Think about this. On the Isle of Patmos, John the aged apostle has been exiled there because of his witness, because he was witnessing that God has come in human flesh in the person of Christ, that he has come to die on a cross and to blast apart the finality of death and to open the doors to glorification. to indestructible immortality, to life, to knowing God personally, to getting in touch with the infinite living personal God, and then a warning against finite seducing spirits that would lead us astray. And so we have this man that has been in fellowship, literally seen the physical Jesus Christ and walked with him in the earth until Jesus was crucified, died, rose, and ascended, and promised to return. And for many, many years, John, this disciple, had been witnessing and sharing and seeing the living Christ work in and through his life. So how did he get this? Well, if you go back to the beginning of Revelation, rather, you're going to find out that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was in the Spirit of the living God. Now, there are many people that have spirits, and they're guided by spirits, and they have their own spirit, or they even claim they've got an angel. And listen, even the Luciferians and Satanists that listen to the broadcasts and know that the kind of work that we do and what we're after. Even some of you, I'd like to hear from you to find out about how the rituals are going. Because I've been told by undergrounders, by brotherhooders, that that a lot of satanic rituals are being done to acquire power, to acquire access, to gain authority, to obtain new levels of spiritual power. As a matter of fact, I years ago was with someone out of Fort Bragg, trained as a monarch, a chosen one. This is one that was a very, very, they understood the terms Babylon working baby. They understood satanic ritual probably better than anybody I've ever met. And they discussed with me over the years how the brotherhood and how the rituals were going as far as they have been trying again and again and again to do specific rituals to gain the powers of resurrection, literally counterfeiting the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, whether you believe that or not, this is what I have been told. This is what I've engaged over the years. And for those of you that know the underground rituals, and by providence, I know what I'm talking about here, you may come to realize, maybe even in Europe specifically, the belly of the beast over there, that by God's providence, you've gotten a hold of this. You're listening. Maybe even some of the elitists. And you understand that there are those that do know about the rituals and the power of rituals. God has given a glimpse into that substructure of radical evil. In the book of Ezekiel, God showed what was going on deep inside the cave. God gave supernatural, you know, insight and leading of the prophet Ezekiel to go into and actually find the secret power of lawlessness and the satanic rituals that were going on. And again, that's thousands of years ago. Here we are in the present, but now let's move to the future. Let's move to the future. Biblical prophecy takes you to the future. It is, in a sense, real time travel. As you're looking at things that were written 2,000 years ago that have life in them, that have the power of God in them to speak, that's why some people are afraid to read it. That's why satanic chosen ones and others aren't permitted and are programmed and or have demons that won't allow them to read any of the scriptures, let alone the book of Revelation. But it's the book of Revelation that unveils and exposes a coming mother of all rituals found in Revelation 16. Now, I'll be doing some series on that pretty soon. Right now, we're talking about a place of the containment of hundreds of thousands upon that, literally millions of demonic extra-dimensional beings. And they're sealed. And they've never come out. In some sense, Scripture would tend to show that a demon can be sent into it, but no demon can get out of it. Well, at least until an authority is given And this star, this demonic presence, if not Satan himself, gains the authority, exousia, the authority, the right, translated in the King James and the NIV and many other translations as power. The idea of authority has behind it the idea of power. There's an ability with the authority. Now we're going to talk about authority, the key, because this is vital, especially in light of the super collider that has just been activated, and then some feel that can tear apart the fabric of space. And some fear that it's going to be able to breach a hole in dark matter. Some feel that it may do something to time itself. Some are speculating they have no idea what's behind the goal of the super collider and the power that it will generate. Will it have the power to pierce the second heavens? Well, the remote viewers call this realm the ether, where they project out and they're out in that place. And I dealt with a remote viewer at one time, and they talked about being able to go out. They even discussed how three of them could get together and triangulate and move out together, thus obtaining or having greater power and going further out into the ether. A lot of occultists and New Agers and others have talked about the astral plane. A lot of Luciferians and real Satanists understand even the concepts of spiritual warfare when it comes to being spiritually empowered and leaving your body and going to your target to bring, the remote viewers are now talking about and have been probably doing for 30 years, remote influence. Astral projection, there's been claims there for years, the ability to literally touch and affect and to harm to the point of psychic assassination. In other words, getting out of your body, going through that realm, literally then having some level of ability based on power that is behind what you are doing in order to affect somebody adversely and kill them. I mean, there's rituals that are based. There are death rituals, sex rituals, destruction rituals, all kinds of chaos rituals, all kinds of rituals being done, more than ever in the history of humanity. Now, for those who are more biblically oriented, going back to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 21-22, you're going to read about Manasseh and the rituals done there, and the blood rituals for Nebo and Moloch, Chemosh and others, Baals. This has been going on from the foundation of the fall of the human race, from the entrance of the watchers or the B'nai Elohim that took the women and created Nephilim, and the teaching that went on and the sorcery. And if you want to know the origins, for those who are Wiccan that say to me all the time that you're the oldest religion on the face of the earth. Well, since the fall of the human race, in some ways that is true. Your lineage and blood lineage and spiritual lineage go all the way back to the B'nai Elohim and the Nephilim of Genesis 6 and after that. Now we're saying all of this because I assume that those who are listening right now do believe in a spiritual dimension. Whether you're, listen, maybe you're in the NSA, maybe you're in the CIA, maybe you're in the DOD and DIA, whatever you may be involved in, one thing I know for sure, the backdrop of this message, God is a providence, and God is knocking at your door. There's no one that wants you more, nobody that loves you more, nobody that knows you more. Do you know God, the living, infinite God? You may have some kind of spirituality. What is the source? What does it do for you? And where will it take you? Every one of us must be confronted with what God did at the cross. Let me tell you why. This chapter on the abyss deals with an angelic presence, a fallen angelic presence that had fallen from the sky to the earth. As Jesus talked about, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Well, the star is not a physical star. Obviously, the context of the book of Revelation in reference to a fallen angel here, because it was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. Now, some have said, well, maybe this is an angel of God that God sent this angel to open the shaft. Well, what we're going to see here, though, is that sheer evil, radical evil, is unleashed. It is a global impact, environmentally, ecologically, economically, militarily, and politically, and in every other way, let alone, ultimately, it's going to have impact in the lives of millions. And this particular trumpet, or this particular, you know, fifth angel that sounded, this particular revelation, coupled with the other two in this chapter, listen to me, my friend, it involves the coming death of one third of the human race. Now, let me ask you something. Is it possible for a nuclear reactor to melt down to, you know, Chernobyl? Can we talk about Chernobyl? Can we talk about, you know, how many lost their lives? Can we talk about a particular, you know, nuclear weapon that can take out an entire city? Can we talk about the super collider? For many of you who've been looking into it and maybe know more on the subject, you understand what they're doing right now. You understand that in turning this on, that some fear that there's going to be an effect. Maybe it will affect the weather and great havoc will, you know, be unleashed. Maybe it will somehow affect nuclear warheads or nuclear plants. Others are saying that it might strike into the spiritual dimension. I mean, if we want to believe Dan Sherman, who worked for the National Security Agency, the NSA, who claimed to be an intuitive and had the job, you can read his book above. It deals with the subtitle in ways, Project Preserved Destiny. And Project Preserved Destiny, in his book by Dan Sherman, and you can see him even on YouTube and all that he's into, but that he claimed that working with this machinery technology that they were able to receive intelligence, communication from extra, whether dimensional or terrestrial, entities. But as I read the book myself, I realized that what he was in touch with has the same nature of what we have dealt with for years, the demonic. These are extra-dimensional beings. Millions of them have been in the abyss for a millennia because they are so horrific, they have committed such great crime against humanity, that literally it is a place of judgment. If you've read the rest of the story of the abyss in Revelation 20, it's the place where Satan himself will be thrown, bound for 1,000 years. Listen to me, and especially New Agers. During an age on the face of the earth, maybe you've never read about it, the millennia, chillism, in which for 1,000 years there is no war, no bloodshed, there is no battle. The lamb lays down with the lion. They beat their weapons into plow, into farm tools. Now, I don't know if you've ever read about the subject, and there are those that hope for a whole new age, and the Mayan researchers and the 2012ers are all looking for this massive spiritual convergence or some kind of spiritual evolution. And I agree that it is coming, but that it is not good. That it is coming, but it is not what you're expecting. It's like that mirage in the desert when dry and thirsty individuals caught in that desert are looking desperately and dying for a drink of water. And they see what looks like an oasis. Some of you are seeing what looks like a spiritual oasis. You've listened to Marilyn Ferguson. You've listened to David Spangler. You've listened to Dallas Bailey. You've listened to many of the others. Maybe you're a listener to Coast, and you've heard all those who've discussed all the kinds of spirituality. And you've bought into the fact that all of it leads to the same place. You've bought into a lie that was begun in Genesis 3 when a fallen cherub offered to the human race the promises of a spiritual evolution that would lead to deification, but when bit into, when it was chosen, when it was taken, it didn't take him to life, it took him to death. So I beg you, challenge you, to examine the spirituality that you're involved with, that you have. What is the source? What does it do? Who is it? What is it? I know the living God. He dwells within my heart. The living Christ, He's alive. I know His presence. I know His power. I know that Jesus Christ, who shed His blood on the cross, and when He did this, did you know that He gained keys? Revelation chapter 2. Oh, some many decades later, the living Christ reveals Himself to John on the Isle of Patmos and tells, and there is a clear word about what it is that He has. And it has everything to do with your life. Somebody has defeated death. Somebody has broken the barrier between God and man. Somebody's made and paved a way in which we can become friends with God and have a relationship with God and to know God. To know God in the best and most personal of ways. So can I tell you something today? Jesus Christ says that He was once dead, but that now He is alive forever and ever, and that He holds the keys. In the New Testament specifically, the idea of keys, and you can go back to the Old Testament concept. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, listen to this. This is amazing. Because it's spoken decades later and written down decades later, and it involves the broadest, most specific, and detailed revelation of the soon or very near future that will impact, that these events, the great chaos, the apocalypse of Antichrist, the two witnesses coming onto the scene, the interactions of the spirits, the finite spirits, the seducing spirits, the age in which the greatest manifestation, the largest manifestation of demonic presence and power will be among us. Global events will occur, including the opening of the abyss. Jesus says, Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, I am the living one, I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Listen to me, please. Colossians chapter 2, by what He did at the cross, He disarmed the powers. He gained the right. He has authority over death. You can couple this with Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. He now has authority, clear authority, that he is won literally by His work at the cross over death. And thus He has brought the destruction of death, the finality of death, and Hades. Now, I think you should be interested in this because it involves your life. It involves your family, your children or your parents. Listen, living is one thing, dying is another. Do you know it's going to happen the moment you die? Do you know where you go instantly the moment you die? Are you betting on there is no Hades, there is no hell, there is no place like that? Yet Jesus spoke about it, biblical revelation has spoken about it. Well, let me tell you something. Prior to all that, in human history, we've already brought out the fact that this massive, and it must be clearly dimensional, even if it's under the water somewhere, as some speculate, or if it's under the ground or in the ground, literally, can we go back? Let's go back just for a moment, because I want to read Revelation 9 just in the beginning, because when I read the externalization of the hierarchy by Alice Bailey, written in the 30s, the 1930s, she knew she was guided by what she called ascended masters, these rulers, these spiritual beings. And if you study her works and others like her, you're going to find out that these collective voices, some call them advanced beings, the Great White Brotherhood, the ascended masters, that they have predicted back in the 30s, speaking into and through the writings of Alice Bailey, that they would guide scientists, that they would guide technology, and bring it to a point, and that there would come a day in which, through the instrumentality of man and the technology that he's been guided in, and the science that he's been guided in, they will learn how to break the barrier between this physical side and that spiritual dimension. That a doorway may be opened. There's even been sci-fi films on this already, of things like the Super Collider that have been turned on, and that things from a parallel universe were able to come over during that time, and they wreaked havoc on humanity. Now, one thing about biblical prophecy, if you haven't heard me say in the other sessions on this, is that all of those prophecies of the past referring to the first coming of Christ were all fulfilled accurately, and they're really, literally, they blow out of the waters any kind of counterfeit prophecy. And let me tell you, the Word of God, the Spirit of the eternal Spirit of God, He's the infinite Spirit of God. He's already said that there would be alternative spiritual streams. In the Greek language of the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, He calls this pseudo or counterfeit. That there's another realm, that there is a realm of intense seduction, intense deception. That this dark side is looking for a deceived humanity that can be used as the instrument by which to gain broader authority and entrance into our world. Think about a possessed person. Has not a demon gained its way and gotten authority? I mean, if you read 2 Corinthians 4:4, you're going to find out Satan, who is the god, small g, of this age, he has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they can't see, well, literally, who Jesus is. That's what his job is. But that he's called the god of this age, this time period. That he's been given exousia, authority, temporary authority. He does have rights. We gave it to him. Can I say this to you and I as a human being? You and I gave it to him. Whether you're going to agree with us or not, God says it in the Old Testament, the New, Jesus. Listen, all the apostles and prophets, they all knew it. And I'm going to tell you right now, and I testify to you in the sight of God, and by the Spirit of God, that you and I gave, in the fall of the human race, we gave the fallen cherub access to our lives and to the world around us. You can read this in 1 John chapter 5. It talks about the evil one, this fallen cherub, the same one from Genesis 3, thousands of years later, is written about in 1 John chapter 5, how he is in control of the whole world. Now, the Greek word cosmos means the fallen world system, the political, the philosophy, the system. And this corresponds again to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, I know that you can go back and write some of these verses down. Maybe again, if you don't know much, go take a look at these things. I'm going to tell you right now that the Word of God says of itself that it is the words, the living words of God, that literally His presence is in the words. It's the only book whose author is always present whenever and wherever it is read. In Ephesians chapter 2, it clearly says to us that the ruler of the power of the air, remember that biblical revelation throws light on absolute reality, who Satan is, what his origin is, what he's all about. Well, in that verse, he's called the ruler of the power of the air, the concept of the immediate atmosphere around us. And then it goes on to say that he's at work. The Greek word there means in a supernatural operative way. He is at work in those who are disobedient. In other words, those who are still lost. When we live without God and the Spirit of God is not in our life, the living Christ is not in our life, the Bible itself tells us that we are under the authority of Satan himself. Did you know that? Now, if you want to do, again, a study about this, at least look it up. If you're a New Ager, you shouldn't be afraid to look it up in Scripture. But look up the Scripture to see what it says for itself. Just simply be open to God and say, God, I want to really know what this is all about. Go to Colossians chapter 1, go down and read about that when any individual gives their life to Jesus Christ and they are born again of the Spirit of the living God, a new life comes into them, something else occurs. There is a forceful spiritual transference. Literally, that we are translated. In Colossians chapter 1, when we get saved, we are lifted up out of the dominion of darkness. Do you see that? Colossians chapter 1, dominion of darkness. The authority, the exousia of darkness. We are lifted up out of that, translated. Look what it says. Colossians chapter 1. You got it? We are translated into the basileia of Christ. The kingdom. The living kingdom. The kingdom of power. The kingdom of God is a matter of power and love and joy. It's the living presence and authority. Jesus referred to us to repent and to believe the good news because the kingdom, the rule, the reign of God is near. And you know what it includes? Eternal life. You know what it includes? The destruction of death, the end of evil, no more war. It includes being able to see God face to face and be in eternal friendship. It involves God wiping away all the tears, all the pain, all the things we've gone through. It involves the deepest way of knowing that you know that you know that you know God. Do you know God? Jesus said that whoever would believe on Him, as the Scripture said, out of their inmost being, out of the inside of you, would flow the power of the Spirit of God. Have you believed on Christ? Have you called on Christ? Have you received Christ into your life? Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life. Be Lord and Savior and grant me your Spirit. He'll give you the Spirit of God. He'll give you the gift of eternal life. He opens up everything to you. Do you realize that? Now, if you're listening and you have the Spirit of God within you, you understand the Great Commission. You understand the great mission of God in the reaching of the world. God so loved the world. You understand biblical prophecy is true then. And when you read Revelation 9 about the abyss, you're going to see an event that's going to strike the world. I know friends right now that are lost, that I desperately want to see them come to Christ. I know Satanists and Luciferians that are committed to the other side, committed to the powers, and they do their rituals and they're and they're, well, and many times they're antagonistic towards me. But yet they at least write me sometimes, and we talk. Most of them will listen in secrecy. Some of you have even done rituals, conjuring powers and sending them against me. But God has my back. And some of you found that out. And all I care is that you don't lose your soul forever. You can lose your soul forever. This prophecy in Revelation 9 is about the abyss being opened. How a demonic presence, if not Satan himself, it was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. I mean, Satan talks about this given authority even in Luke's Gospel chapter 4 when he's engaging Jesus Christ, trying to get Jesus, as God was in human flesh, trying to get him to cross over in sin. And of course, Jesus won that battle very clearly. Not only winning that battle, if you read Luke 4, you're going to find out that Satan says, as he in an instant shows him all the kingdoms of the world, says, I can give this to you because it has been given to me. Literally, the idea that it has been delivered over to me. He had the rights. He said he had the authority to give it to whoever he wanted to. Satan does have rights because we as human race opened the door, believed his lie, and let him in. This may involve some level of rights that he's given. It doesn't say, there are commentators and scholars that will say, hey, you know, God gave him the key. It doesn't say that. It does say it was given to him. And we find out that the concept of him gaining authority and gaining the rights, well, it can occur, I mean, obviously occurs to the human race. We also see, you know, in Ephesians chapter 4, how we are not to be, you know, be angry and don't sin and don't let the sun go down on your anger and give the devil a topon, literally a legal right to harass or bring strongholds into your life. So there are those that will even speculate that, like with a lot of the technology that Alice Bailey back in the 30s and Helena Blavatsky and many other writers and many book authors that have appeared even on Coast to Coast. Cotterell, Maurice Cotterell, the belief in the super gods, small g. There are those that are really searching and looking for extra dimensional, and they want to engage that side. And they're willing to do just about anything. The Nazi scientists were willing to do just about anything to gain the edge. Russian military scientists, United States of America, and England, and listen, Britain also. So many of those military scientists or scientists whom the military would go after and draw into their programs would do anything, break any ethic, any code. I mean, G.H. Estabrooks reveals that as he writes in the 40s in his book on hypnosis on the military weaponization of hypnosis, splitting personalities, creating Manchurian candidates. The other side is attempting to give mankind technology. This is what you military leaders need to understand. This is what Mill Lab scientists and others at Los Alamos and other places, and again, where the super collider, listen, why is there so much occult-oriented symbolism connected with those who have worked on the super collider? Richard Hoagland reveals in his book, Dark Mission, how NASA, our own United States NASA, is packed with occult and dark spiritual beliefs, things that are rooted in old line occultism and finite spirits. Could it be that the dark side communicating, popping those thoughts into the heads of willing, throw your ethics out the door, scientists who are willing to learn anything, do anything to gain ideas? Can Satan, voice to skull, communicate concepts of technology? I believe with all my heart he does. I believe that's what Dan Sherman may have been involved with. I believe that's what many of the Nazi scientists and doctors and mill leaders and others. There are so many in Europe. They're so far advanced. Can't you see them? Can't you see some of the elitists who already are ready? They're ready for the abyss. They're ready for this. They're ready for the spiritual catastrophic event to occur. Biblical revelation would teach 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that the satanic side is bursting at the seams to break over into our side. But the sovereign hand of God restrains until a certain time. And here we have this connection in Revelation 9 now, where later on during the days of the tribulation, when the abyss is opened, well, we've already talked about what comes out. If there are those who are ufologists and want those who want to find extraterrestrial life, when the dimension opens and these beings come from the other side and they literally come to our dimension, not invisible, visible, you are not going to like. You are not going to like what you've been seeking and looking for so long. God has been seeking you. God has been looking for you. He's been knocking at the door of your life. He's been trying to speak to your heart, speak to your life. Open your heart to God who loves you, who knows you. Jesus holds the authority, the keys of death and of Hades. He liberates us and gives us life and embraces us with love and the gift of eternity and knowing. If you want finite spirits, if you want alternative spirituality, that's all you get. If that's your choice, you will die with it. And you will lose your soul. You will lose your very self. Jesus wept about that. And God says he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But the radical, real, personal evil is ramping up in our world, along with it corresponding chaos and crazy and war and bloodshed and that feeling in the air that it's all about to come down crashing on humanity's head. Yes, at some point, whether it's the super collider, whether it's the Luciferian priests and all the rituals that are being done, the dimension will be opened. Ultimately, it's in the hand of this demonic presence that comes down. Ultimately, the authority is given, the shaft of the abyss is opened, and literally all hell breaks loose. Are you ready for that? Is this just a study in conspiracy? Are you just listening to tantalize your ears to think, wow, what another concept? But when you see it face to face, if you're not saved, if you're lost, if you die, and you go to hell, there's no second chance. You get it? And there's a passion out of heaven that doesn't want you to land there. God calls you to come home. Because the only ones protected in this scenario of the abyss are those who have the seal of God. Everyone who receives the living Christ as Savior and Lord and He comes into their life, He gives them the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, you're marked. You're sealed with the Spirit of God. The good news is that you, yes you, even you right now can receive the living Christ as Lord and as Savior. the authority, the right to open the abyss will be given. Whether that's acquired directly through the sin of man and the combination of technology developed so that doors can be opened, kind of like Judas, who never believed all along the way, and eventually Satan was able to walk right into his life and lead him to betray the Son of God. And scientists, military scientists, and others that are given to the dark powers, the finite spirits, the ancient bloodlines of the Nephilim, they are the ones that in the end of days, Satan is going to be able to speak into their minds in the development of weaponry, technology, guide them, and based on Revelation 16, to bring about the most advanced military and spiritualized or demonized military in human history. It's upon us. It is upon us. Do you have authority when it comes to your death? Do you know the day or the hour? What's going to happen? It is without question the abyss will be opened. It is without question that hell breaks loose on the face of the earth. It is without question that authority is gained. That with that given authority, the right to open that dimensional door occurs. Be it direct, or like Scripture shows how Satan operates in and through humanity and gains access. Either way, those joined to the Luciferian concepts of a spiritual evolution that leads to a transformation of human consciousness, you have bought into the mirage. What has been promised is not out there. And you're about to lose your soul. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then it is your duty to be a witness of Christ and to let this revelation of the abyss move you to reach people before that time. And by the providence of God, may He stretch out His hand and open eyes and hearts. And I pray right now even for the real Luciferians, the ones that really are into it. I'm not even talking about those from the 1st Earth Battalion and others that have gained New Age light level powers. That's how the Luciferian elders see you. I pray that you will come out. God is knocking at the door. Is there any good reason? Are you blaming it all on God, all the pain in your life? Why not stop for a moment? The methodology, the strategy of the fallen cherub and the dark side is to create great havoc in your life and lead you to blame God and to bring bitterness to your soul and your heart and to darken your conscience, to blind you so you can't see the light of the glory of Christ, who is the very icon, the very image, the very presence of God. God loves you now and wants you now. The doorways are wide open. Jesus has the authority to come to God, to come to life, to come to eternity, to be forgiven totally forever. That's why He shed His blood there at the cross. Won't you come to Christ? Hey, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web, preemptionbroadcast.com on the web. And we're simply compelled by the love of God to come to you and say, there's somebody seeking you. It is the living God, and He's calling you to come home. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And I simply cry out to you, come now to Jesus. Listen to Him. Cry out to Him and ask Him. Let Him fill you with His power, new life. You can write to us at ShatterXmail, sbcglobal.net, Sunday nights, live program. Listen, just go to shatterthedarkness.net on the web, and it'll give you all the information. May God's hand be with you. God's blessing be with you.